It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
It's Wednesday, the 29th of May, voting day in South Africa. The Republic of South Africa is at it today, but we are focusing on other things. And our question for today is, how can a person have faith in the absence of evidence? How does a person have faith in the absence of evidence? And joining me now is Pastor Sakile Masilele, who's going to help us answer the question. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome back, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon.
Our question for today, Mfundisi, is how can a person have faith in the absence of evidence?
All right, looking at the definition of faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, evidence is not a component in what we call faith. So to have evidence means that you don't need faith anymore, because what you're looking for is already something that you can see.
Okay.
So the only thing now that you need to do is just to work towards it as a goal, not necessarily to have faith that you're going to get it, but you work towards it as a goal.
Right. So I suppose, Mfundisi, the question writer here is moving from the premise, when I sit on the chair that I'm sitting on right now, I have faith in it because I have seen it carry other people, and I can see its four legs and it's able to stand. I can see it strong, so I have faith. I can trust that it will hold me up. I will not fall apart. I suppose that's what the person is moving from, which means, according to them, there must be some substance in what we have faith in. You cannot just have blind faith. How do you respond to that, Mfundisi?
We have faith in the Creator, because the Creator has given us the surety that He will fulfill everything that we say we would like to have in our lives. That's why He then calls us in the book of Matthew chapter 11, I think verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So we are sure of the fact that the Creator will answer. So what I can say is that the evidence that we need is the fact that the Creator will definitely answer our prayers, not necessarily the fact that the chair is going to keep me up, because the design says the chair is going to keep you up. The beautiful thing about that analogy, we can transfer it into the earth to say, the Creator will definitely make sure that everything that we need we'll get, because he has provided us an ecosystem that gives us the evidence that He will definitely answer all our prayers, even our desires.
So you're saying we don't need evidence at all? We don't need any substance? We just go in blindly?
Well, according to the definition of faith, as I said, is faith is a substance of things hoped for. So you cannot hope for the evidence of things not seen. Now, the part not seen and hope are similar words, in the sense that they speak of an abstract reality. So you cannot have faith when there is the tangible reality of what you're hoping for.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Mfundisi, at least from the perspective of the definition we get from the book of Hebrews. However, as lay people, how would you respond to a person who has not read the book of Hebrews and reads the definition of faith from a dictionary, an English dictionary perspective, which is slightly different from what the book of Hebrews is saying? And quite frankly, it's entirely dissimilar. The dictionary, for example, Mfundisi, says trust in somebody's ability or knowledge. Trust that somebody, something, will do what has been promised. That's faith.
I think we are now getting into the realm of manifestation and faith. We need to differentiate the two. Manifestation is an old tradition that was done in chanting to bring forth magically something that was said to be an anomaly. Now, manifestation and faith are being used in similar fashion to say, what I see in another person's life, I can manifest it to myself. That manifestation and faith is not the same, because manifestation derives its ability or its ability to manifest from chance and witchcraft movements, and yet faith does not need the other person to be belittled in order for them, in order for you to be blessed. So what faith gives us is the fact that the other person can still have their blessing whilst you also have the same blessing, and you guys enjoy each other's blessing without the other one infringing on the other one.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, Mfundisi, but again, when we are talking about the definition of faith from the English dictionaries, whether it is the Cambridge Dictionary or the Oxford or the Merriam or the Collins, it really doesn't matter. It speaks to confidence we have in something, or surety and belief in something, implying that surely you may have seen. This is an implication, by the way. It's a part of the definition, but it's implied. If you trust it, then the implication there is you have seen it at work before. And that would be perhaps a non-Christian definition that we get straight from the English dictionaries. And that's how I was wondering perhaps if you would be able to respond to this person's question from that perspective, not necessarily from the Hebrew perspective. Mfundisi,
I understand. Hence I said in the beginning, we have got evidence of the fact that God is I'm sorry to use this formation of words, but we've got knowledge and surety of the fact that God answers prayers. We have seen him at work in different spheres of life.
Okay.
In other people's individual lives, and we believe in him solely because we have seen him answer our lives before, in times past, and we can also believe that he's going to answer us even in the here and the now.
Right.
So the evidence is on historic answers that God has done that gives us the confidence to know that he's going to answer us again.
That is a rather Christian view, Mfundisi, and forgive me for interjecting there, because things that do happen, we simply ascribe them to God without any evidence that it is God who did them. I'll give you a contemporary example. People pray and pray for jobs, and when they get jobs, they say, God gave me the job, and they don't say the company gave me the job. A person who is not necessarily a believer in the supernatural could say, no, you don't thank God for giving you the job. Thank me. I'm the one who's employing you. And if you're hungry and somebody gives you food, you don't thank God for giving you the food. God didn't rain manna for you. I gave you the bread. Thank me. And so how do we attribute the good things that we have seen historically, as you're saying, to God, and yet other people would say, actually, it is not God who did that. It's me. It's a human being.
Okay. We then now need to get into the aspect of the intricacy of nature, or should I say of the earth. The intricacy of the earth suggests that even without God being in it, he has created it good enough to be able to function on its own and to make sure that other elements within it are able to be created or recreated or to germinate something new. So what we are then saying is that a person that gets a job because of another person, that is the manifestation of what God has placed in the situation, to say that earth is what it is, but within it a plethora of good things can come up as a result of there being enough space for creativity to come into being. So What we are then saying, the reason why we attribute that to God is because God has created the playing field for us to be able to come up with new ideas, to fill up the earth, and to do everything according to the creativity that we've got. Because when you look at how God says, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, what you then realize is that God starts things from nothing. So in as much as a person starts a business that has not been there in this world, you are taking that from your father, the creator God, who then started things from nothing. So the reason why we attribute everything to God is because of that. So it's like a son sees his father doing particular things, and then he then does different things, but he got the idea or the ideology from the father. So the reason why we attribute things of this nature, whether we are Christian or whether we are not Christian, to God is because God has created the playing field. He has created the capacity within us to be able to see different possibilities, even though they're not in front of us at this current juncture.
All right. Got it. I hear you. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your insights. Let's see you tomorrow when you answer another question tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.